This next session is called Miles Davis and Gil Evans, The Adagio of Spanish Afro-Modernism. And it will be presented by Kevin Fullerton, who is a PhD candidate in musicology at the University of Kansas under the tutelage of Roberta Schwartz. He enjoys comparing interpretations of jazz recordings and their reception. He has a background in jazz and classical performance, but turned to musicology in the 2000s. Let's have a nice round of applause for Kevin Fullerton.
Miles Davis is recognized today as one of the most significant American musicians of the 20th century, as his influence on jazz and rock and roll musicians is cited on many occasions. His career was defined by his relentless search for the new project, the new sound, and he often found it. It was this process of reinvention of himself or a composition that was or is most impressive about Miles Davis. In the 1950s and 1960s, Spanish and Latin American music swept across the United States, exemplified by Latin American musicians such as Perez Prado and Tito Puente, and Spanish musicians such as Carlos Montoya and Andres Segovia. Inspired by the popularity of Latin American and Spanish music, American-born musicians such as Miles Davis infused their own compositions and performance styles with their perceptions of Spanish and Latin American melodies, rhythms, and instruments. Their music then takes on a life of its own in American popular culture, and this phenomenon is illustrated in the album Sketches of Spain, recorded by Miles Davis and Gil Evans in 1959. As stated by Dan Wakefield, quote, "Everyone I knew had bullfight posters on their walls and went through a phase of heavy listening to flamenco music to translate the essence of all that mythology so central to our generation's imagination into modern jazz, our time's music, was simply an act of instinctive genius that Miles Davis performed in Sketches of Spain," end quote. The inspiration for the album was the Concierto de Aranjuez by Spanish nationalist composer Joaquin Rodrigo. At the age of 7, Rodrigo enrolled in the School for the Blind in Valencia, Spain, where he began his musical training. He was a diligent composition student and moved to Paris in 1927, where he studied composition with Paul Dukas. He remained in Paris working as a composer and concert pianist until the Spanish Civil War ended, and he then returned to Spain. Rodrigo composed and premiered the Concierto de Aranjuez in 1939. The success of the concerto solidified his career as a composer to the degree that biographies about Rodrigo explain his life as pre-concerto and post-concerto. The piece as a whole is supposed to evoke the royal palace at Aranjuez, and the original work is scored for a guitar solo with symphony orchestra and is in three movements. The second movement, our focus today, labeled Adagio, is a lament that is essentially based on one distinct theme or melody. The excerpt we're going to listen to is from the first available recording of the concerto in the United States, as advertised by the record company London International Incorporated in the New York Times in 1955. The recording was made by guitarist Narciso Yepes with the Madrid Symphony Orchestra. The somber lyrical quality to the Adagio theme is first heard in the English horn and is then passed to the guitar. Notice the rhythmic figurations added to the guitar part that provide the illusion of sustained notes. Thank you. Miles Davis made the first recording of the Adagio outside of the classical genre, and the first American recording, classical or jazz. Davis was introduced to the concerto by Joe Mondragon, a session bass player in Los Angeles, and was immediately hooked. Quote, "When I got to his house, he played this recording of Concerto de Aranjuez by the Spanish composer Joaquin Rodrigo and said, 'Miles, listen to this. You can do this.' So I'm sitting there listening and looking at Joe, and I'm saying to myself, 'God damn, these melody lines are strong.' I knew right there that I had to record it." End quote. Evans did not have a score to consult for the project, so he transcribed the whole Adagio, most likely from the 1955 Yepes recording just heard. Evans rewrote the guitar part as a flugelhorn solo for Davis and scored the accompaniment for a small wind ensemble. The brass instruments use mutes on several occasions, and there are many instances of cross-arranging for a variety of effects throughout. Cross-arranging, a relatively new technique in jazz at the time, is a way of orchestrating two chords that share common pitches between different instruments in the ensemble. The piece begins with the flute playing the Adagio theme, accompanied by the wind ensemble, harp, and castanets. Davis then plays the theme with strikingly similar rhythmic figurations as heard in the excerpt of the Yepes recording. Initially, Rodrigo did not like Davis's recording, but according to Federico Taroba Jr., Rodrigo eventually warmed up to Davis's recording after he started to receive royalty checks. In fact, the album was a huge commercial success. Bill Mathew gave the album 5 stars in his review in the September 29, 1960 issue of Downbeat and stated, quote, "This record is one of the most important musical triumphs that this century has yet produced. It brings together under the same aegis two realms that in the past have often worked against one another, the world of the heart and the world of the mind," end quote. And Gary Giddens, the jazz author, critic, and overt fan of Miles Davis, states the album was, quote, "sophisticated, worldly, sexy, and erotic," end quote. Outside of the commercial success, critical reception of the album was mixed. I believe this had as much to do with people's own expectations of Miles Davis than the actual music. An advertisement in the New York Times by Columbia Records highlights some of the records you could purchase on February 5th, 1961, and Sketches of Spain is listed under the popular category along with Johnny Mathis, Johnny Cash, and even the album Bernstein Plays Brubeck Plays Bernstein. The jazz genre as a whole was transforming during the Evans-Davis collaborations. Consider, Sketches of Spain was released in 1960, the same year as John Coltrane's Giant Steps and Ornette Coleman's Free Jazz. These three albums could not be any more different from one another, yet they were all marketed simply as jazz. The prescribed notion of what jazz was supposed to be became problematic for many listeners. The New York Times critic John Wilson wrote about Sketches of Spain in 1960, quote, "For the listener in search of jazz, there is mighty little of that commodity evident in any of these selections except for a portion of the concerto," end quote. Wilson eventually warmed up to the Davis and Evans works, evident in his review of the Carnegie Hall concert in 1961, which was released as a double LP entitled Live at Carnegie Hall. Quote, "The selections played by Mr. Davis and Mr. Evans's orchestra, which included the Meaning of the Blues, New Rumba, and Concerto de Aranjuez, were marked by rich, somber tonal mixtures that served as a suitable contrast to Mr. Davis's fiery performances with his quintet," end quote. The criticism Sketches of Spain received was generally due to Davis's departure from blues-derived melodies and jazz-style rhythms. Bill Cole compared Sketches of Spain to the previous Davis and Evans album, Porgy and Bess. Quote, "The album was immediately a popular success, but in actuality, it was lacking the basic ingredient of African-American music, rhythm. The music itself is stunning vertically, but it has very little interest horizontally. Nowhere does it have the spiritual power of Porgy and Bess," end quote. Max Harrison's terse comment was a widely accepted sentiment. To him, it was, quote, "bogus flamenco," end quote. Martin Williams states in his book, The Jazz Tradition, quote, "the recording is something of a curiosity and a failure," end quote. However, Sketches of Spain should be viewed as the culmination of Davis's Spanish-influenced compositions, not as a tangential side project. Once Davis played the concerto recording for Evans, they began conceptualizing a Spanish album by studying the recordings of Spanish folk music that Alan Lomax developed for the Columbia Records Series World Library of Folk and Primitive Music. In addition to the concerto, the other tracks on the album are Will-o'-the-Wisp from Manuel de Falla's ballet El Amor Brujo, and three Evans compositions, the Pan Piper, Saeta, and Solea. Other Spanish-inspired works include an adaptation of a portion of De Falla's three-cornered hat entitled Blues for Pablo, which joined Maids of Cadiz and New Rumba on the album Miles Ahead in 1956. And further, just 7 months prior to Sketches of Spain, Davis recorded flamenco sketches on Kind of Blue. As a result of Davis's work, the adagio quickly became a part of the jazz world. I'm going to play an excerpt from three different recordings that illustrate the different treatments of the adagio in the jazz context. The first portion of the clip is the Modern Jazz Quartet with the Brazilian guitarist Lorinda Almeida, recorded in 1964. Almeida adheres to the Rodrigo score for the majority of the recording, and the rest of the group executes a reduction of the orchestral forces. The second excerpt is from Chick Corea with Return to Forever. Excuse me, that's the Modern Jazz Quartet album. And then here's Chick Corea with Return to Forever. Corea uses the adagio theme as the introduction to his composition Spain for the album Light as a Feather, recorded in 1972. Notice the poignant statement of the theme by Chick Corea on the Fender Rhodes keyboard, accompanied by Stanley Clark's Arco bass playing and Perim on percussion. Once he performs the complete theme, the band begins the next section, which is completely unrelated to the adagio theme. And the third excerpt is from Jim Hall's sextet recording, 1975 recording, entitled Concerto. Other than the actual adagio theme, the recording is not related in any way to the Rodrigo score. And this is arguably one of the most symbolic recordings of how this composition was recanonized from the art music realm to jazz. The fact that the adagio originated as a guitar concerto is completely lost, as Jim Hall, the guitarist, assumes primarily an accompanimental role. The theme is most often heard in the trumpet and saxophone and is used simply as opening material for their improvised solos. In this excerpt, you will hear Paul Desmond on alto sax carrying the theme and Chet Baker on trumpet, treating the theme as a call in need of a response. So here's the Modern Jazz Quartet. Thank you. The Adagio and Sketches of Spain has also been influential in popular music and culture. When asked the question, what are your two favorite Miles Davis albums, early punk icon Iggy Pop states, quote, 25 years ago, more or less, I found Sketches of Spain and Jack Johnson on vinyl. They have been my inspiring companions ever since. The one tears me apart and the other puts me back together, end quote. What do you think would happen if you took LSD and listened to Sketches of Spain repeatedly for 24 hours? Well, according to Grace Slick of Jefferson Airplane, you would compose White Rabbit for the album Surrealistic Pillow. And finally, the Adagio was the focal point of the feature film Brassed Off. The movie was filmed in 1996 and stars Ewan McGregor. The Grimley Brass Band enters the National Brass Band competition as the underdog and wins with their arrangement of the Adagio for brass band with flugelhorn solo. While the thematic content is held intact, the brass band arrangement includes rock and roll style beat rhythms performed with a drum set. And to further divorce the composition from the original, the conductor refers to the Concerto de Aranjuez in a rather oafish manner as, quote, the Concerto de Orange Juice, end quote. Today, there are hundreds of different versions of the Concerto de Aranjuez, but as a result of Davis's work, it is the Adagio popular music performers concentrate on. The somewhat accidental or casual exposure that Davis had to this composition has proven to be an extremely influential event in the course of Joaquin Rodrigo and jazz literature. The Adagio began as a work that Spanish citizens unanimously loved. It was transformed by Davis into an iconic jazz recording, and as a result has remained a part of popular culture ever since. The fateful evening in which Davis was at the home of Joe Mondragon listening to this piece provided the foundation for not only an influential album, but another composition for jazz and the world. Thank you.
Bear with us while we do the switching of computers.